Welcome back to Farm Talk. Good news and Farm Director Eric Johnson. Well, we are going to have to head down south, way down south, and head to Oklahoma, getting very close to near and dear to my my son's state of Texas. I miss the food down there greatly, and hopefully he's taking in some barbecue. Well, he's down there, Kevin Sedovic, with NDSU. He's also on a trip with some students down there. But first of all, Kevin, kind of give us the 411. What are you doing down there in Oklahoma today, besides sweating?
Besides sweating, well, thanks for having me on this morning. We are down here in Oklahoma City, taking part of the National Range and Land Judging Contest, and we brought the top 4-H and FFA teams from North Dakota to compete. And the contest was this morning, and the awards will be this evening.
Wow. Okay, well, do tell a little bit more about what kind of things that these students were doing when they're in what, I mean, obviously we understand the general premise, but maybe if you could get just a little bit more detail on what kind of things they're judging, what they're looking at.
Sure. Well, it's a range judging contest, so they have to forget about what they learned in North Dakota and come all the way down south in this warm, humid climate, and they have to learn about 80 new plants. So the first thing they do is learn the key plants for the contest, which is about 75 to 80 plants, and we got down there actually Sunday, and we were looking at plants since Sunday. And then they have to judge that rangelands, which is for most of those who think about rangelands, that's where you graze your cows. We graze those rangelands for their what's called similarity index, or it's historically what's growing there now versus what should have been growing there. And then they have to judge it for its value for beef cattle and its value for bobwhite quail. And so they go through all those different facets of the contest, and then out of 1,000 points, they get ranked, and we see how they do. And so, but it's a hard contest because they got to learn about 70 new plants. And so we had the FFA team from Killdeer here today and the 4-H team from Oliver County. And so we have to be tight quarters with the range specialists for the last 4 days.
How many teams are there? Do they have someone from, like, all 50 states, or how does that work?
So for rangelands, it's basically all the western counties. Western states in the state. And then the land judging contest, there is teams here from every state, including Hawaii and Alaska. And so there are kids here from every state in the U.S., including the other two that aren't in the main 48.
Okay, so the land judging, how is that different than range? Are your teams in the land portion of it too?
So there are land teams here, and I think the 4-H land team is from Walsh, Grand Forks County, and the FFA land team is from Foster County in Carrickton, and they basically judge soils. So basically looking at these cropland soils, and they look at it for its value for a class type of soil. Its soil textures, they got to look at slope, and it has to look at its value for crop ground in terms of the better the rating, the higher the score, and they have to actually rate them out. It's another tough contest, and every state is represented for the land judging contest. In some states, they actually call soil judging.
Man, I'm going to go back to the rangeland because, again, you mentioned it's – I guess it's almost a little unfair for somebody that's not from that region. Like you said, they had to learn 70 new plants just to identify, you know, what's in that pasture land. Are you guys out somewhere? Are you guys at somebody's farm, or where are you doing this? Or are they just doing pictures and saying, okay, what?
No, we did it. We met in El Reno, which is west of town, and then they drive us out to a ranch. Okay. Or it's a crop ground, and we were out in the middle of really nowhere, and the contest is set out there, so it is a real-life scenario. You're judging it for its value as a rancher would look at it, or as land judging, you're judging it as this value for agronomy value. In terms of cropping systems.
Okay, so what is your
it's
role?
Exciting.
Yeah, but it's very exciting to me. I would have loved to have done this trip when I was younger for the FFA. Sure. Furthest I got to go was Crookston, look at horses. So I mean, I like horses,
yes.
But not like going to Oklahoma.
Well, I hate to tell you this. I hope they tell us now, but we're up at the Express Ranch looking at Clydesdales.
Oh my gosh, the real ones, like the Budweiser ones, or just Clydesdale ones. in
These
general.
These are the Budweiser ones are here as well as the number. They have a number of Clydesdales here.
They are such beautiful horses. You don't see them as much anymore. I don't know why. if they've kind of cut back on that. I mean, they're still there, but they're not out as much as they used to be. Man, those are monster horses for one, right? They're just abnormally large. Good Lord.
Yeah, we're looking at a couple here that are well over 17 hands, and some of them are well over 18 hands.
Man, that is crazy. Okay, getting back to, we skipped by it here, but what is your role with this whole thing, Kevin? Obviously, being from NDSU, are you a teacher for the, are you an aide for the students? Are you just a chaperone, or what are you doing to help them?
So as the Extension Rangeland Specialist, I've always offered, since I've been in NDSU since 1989, take the top teams down here and coach them. So they have, obviously they have their own coaches. Their coaches get them to the level at the state level. And then I almost view myself as the closer. I bring them down here and I teach them, because I've been here enough, I can teach them the plants from down here. And just, I become their coach down here. Hmm. Not that the WAG instructors or the county agents also down here, they're also coaching, but it's my job as a range specialist, I can add more to the table for the students.
Okay. For them and their roles, are they going to be using this, you think, in the future as part of a job? Or is this just something for them as maybe they're going to be ranchers and this way it'll help them identify, you know, what's good pasture land and what's not and what's good land and not?
Yeah, it's really both. I mean, for us, it's a great way to recruit students in the natural resources. And we've had a number of students that come out of the range programs as a youth that come to NDSU and get a range degree, and then they can actually get, there's actually a lot of jobs in the U.S. that a range degree play a role in terms of natural resources, pasture management. For me, I'm a grazing person, so I'm a grazing management specialist. And a number of them take it back to the ranch, and they use those skills that they learn, and they can identify weak plants that are not good, managing for not good plants, and also the good plants, and so they know how to actually become managers. And it's amazing how many kids go back to the ranch and they visit with their mom and dad and they actually learn something, and they hope, and some of them actually take what they learn to practice, and their folks actually appreciate some of the knowledge they bring back with them when they come back to the ranch.
Has anybody from North Dakota or Region 1 this event before?
Absolutely. Okay. Last year we actually got reserve national champion in 4-H. And the previous year, we were national champions in the 4-H. Wow. Now, let's say 3 years ago, we were top five in the country in FFA. And so we are very competitive, and we probably produced, I want to say, seven national champions over the last 25 years. And we produced, that'll be team champions, and we produced at least, I want to say, 8 or 9 national champion individuals.
That is fantastic. So what did they get, an award, trophy, scholarship? What happens to these folks that win or place?
Sure, they get medals and trophies, and the top teams get jackets, that national championship jackets.
Oh, so is there
no money in this one?
Okay, is there sponsors that help you guys go down there, or how does that work?
Absolutely, we rely on sponsors, and you know the 4-H kids are from center, so you get there's nothing more than a community that backs their 4-H kids.
Right.
And so they'll get sponsors that'll back the 4-H. And that's true of FFA. I mean, your chapters or your clubs will raise money. And of course, the FFA organization out of Bismarck supports them as well as 4-H. So there's money within the organizations as well as sponsorships. And we appreciate all the sponsors that we get, because it helps the kids, and they have an enjoyable experience in learning without having to have the hardship of actually paying it for themselves.
So the groups, they've already tested, right? You're just waiting for results?
Yes. We'll know in about 5 hours.
In about, holy crap, 5 hours. Okay. So what do you do
They are all relaxed now.
You guys just kick back somewhere? You guys go out to eat? Or what do you do during the 5 hours?
So right now we're at the Express Ranch enjoying some big old Clydesdales, and
nice.
I think the kids are going to go play some miniature golf while I do some work.
Okay, that works for me. Well, I if you think of it and your place or whatever, if you can send me a text or a picture or two, that would be fantastic. We'd definitely relay that along. And are you guys putting anything up on like the NDSU Extension site for this or not?
Yep, we'll have it up on all of our social media sites, and then we'll get it out in the press as well. So I'll I'll gladly send you a message this evening and tell you how we did.
All right. That sounds fantastic. Now, originally, we were going to have you on for completely something else, but I guess maybe just a general question is, how are we doing this spring with our grazing and our pasture land up here? I don't know how much time you've had a chance to be out or if it's too early yet, but I would think we'd be doing pretty good since we finally got some rain, even in western North Dakota.
Yeah, it's been one of them years. It's the haves and have-nots, and, you know, the eastern half and southern half of North Dakota is going to have a great spring. The west came in as a drought. The very southwest corner did catch some of these rains early this week. But everywhere north, Williston got some rain, but northern tier, Minot, you know, over towards Devil's Lake and up in the Bottineau region down towards, you know, north of Bismarck, got nothing. There really was no rain in many of the areas there. They were already in a severe drought coming in from last year, and so we're going to see a spring at least of those that have the haves. We're going to have a really good spring. I think we're going to see a normal turnout in the southern part of the state as well as the eastern part of the state. We're going to have a good growing season with the moisture we have so far. That includes pretty good hay production. But if you live in Kildare or you live in Watford or you live in Minot up to Crosby, it's going to be a tough spring unless we can get some moisture in the near future. So, okay. And we're going to actually be doing a series of drought talks in the northwest because of how bad it is in those parts of the state.
Are they bringing in feed at all for that, or is there enough where they just they can turn them out?
You know, I think right now they're going to be good because we did have some pretty good, you know, hay last year in much of the state. But if we don't get any spring moisture, hay production is going to be severely depleted, yeah. And we're going to see some issues. The positive is there'll be parts of the state they're going to have ample feed, and so we may see some producers working together to try and capture some of that feed across the state, so that those who don't have it can have it without having to pay too much for hay. Right. So right now, the hay market is actually very low priced. You can buy hay pretty reasonable this year because of the carryover from the last couple years.
Are you guys catching any of this rain tonight? Do you know? Are they? Because they're supposed to be like a
70% chance. We actually had the rain here on Tuesday and Wednesday. We probably got 6 inches over 2 days, and ooh. Oklahoma City just broke its record for the most rainfall in the month of April at 13.5 inches. So it's actually quite wet here, and the pastures look amazing.
I would imagine they're green as green can be. Any bugs, mosquitoes, have they found you yet?
Not quite yet. The ticks are out, but so far the mosquitoes are still at bay.
All right. Well, Kevin, enjoy the time down there with the students. That sounds like an extremely fun trip. When did you guys head down there again? I know you probably said, when did you guys start this trip?
We left Saturday.
Okay. So quick driving.
It takes that long to teach them all these plants.
Are you driving the bus? You're driving the bus?
No, we were driving. We're actually driving some SUVs.
Oh, gotcha. All right. Well, Kevin, thank you so much for taking time on. Thank you, by the way, just for jumping on down from Oklahoma. It was really fun to catch up. Had no idea this was going on for the students, but it's fun to be able to get the message out. And again, go to the social media pages for NDSU Extension. I would assume also the 4-H and FFA pages will also have some things on there for the schools that are part of this. So, all right, Kevin, take care. Have a big beef sandwich for me, and we'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me on, Eric.
Not a problem. 23 past, Kevin Sedovic. That was kind of fun. We're going to take a break here. We'll take a look at just real quick on some of the numbers.